Welcome to the Lighthouse Church Sermon Podcast. Subscribe to this podcast to get easy access to the sermons preached on Sundays at Lighthouse Church. These messages are extracted from the live stream of our services, which can be found on our channel, My Lighthouse Vancouver, on YouTube. If you have any questions on these messages, feel free to send your comments or questions via email to info@ladnerlife.com. That's info@ladnerlife.com. Lighthouse Church is located in Metro Vancouver in beautiful British Columbia, Canada, and is affiliated with the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. Now, here is this Sunday's message.
Yes, excellent. Today we are on our second to last message in the book of Exodus, correct? Yes? We'll see. It may be the last one. It may be the last one. Depends how inspired Danny gets about his trip to Poland and sharing those things. So anyhow, it's either our second to last or our last message on the book of Exodus. And today we're actually focusing on the closing verses of the entire book. So I guess it could make sense it's the last one. But just before we jump in, actually, I want to read these verses to you. These verses come from Exodus chapter 40, verse 34 to 38. And this is what they say. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could no longer enter the tabernacle because the cloud had settled down over it. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Now, whenever the cloud lifted up from the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out on their journey following it. But if the cloud did not rise, they remained where they were until it lifted. The cloud of the Lord hovered over the tabernacle during the day, and at night fire glowed inside the cloud, so the whole family of Israel could see it. This continued throughout all their journeys. Some pretty amazing verses, hey? Like, that's a very powerful end to the book of Exodus. And it sounds, I mean, we read it, and it is a great passage. Like, it sounds like a great passage. It sounds like this great event. But this is not an isolated story that you can just yank out of the story of the Exodus and talk about, because every story has a context. And this passage that we just read, it's part of a larger unit, Exodus chapter 40. And the passage, really, to deeply understand this passage, you have to understand what is written in Exodus 40, verse 16, 19, 21, 23, 25, 27, 29, 32, and 33. And just to save you looking it up, I'll tell you, it's the same phrase, or almost the exact same phrase is repeated in all those verses of Exodus 40. And that phrase is, Moses did everything just as the Lord commanded him. So that gives us a little more context. But even those verses from Exodus 40 don't really make sense unless you read Exodus 34, which is where God restores and renews his covenant with his people. And those verses, that story, doesn't really make sense unless you read Exodus 32 and the story of Israel's rebellion around the golden calf. And those verses don't really make sense unless you read about God's original intention, his original desire, which was to dwell with his people. That's where we have to begin. God wants to dwell with his people. He wants to dwell in our midst. The good and holy and beautiful and gracious and powerful and loving God, who himself is perfect community of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he wants to share that community with his people. God is life together. He is as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is completely complete. He is perfectly whole. He needs nothing from us to complete himself, but he is love. And love wants to share itself with others. So God loves you, meaning he wants to share himself with you. He wants to bring you into his perfect life together that he is as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, so that you and I also may experience his goodness, holiness, beauty, grace, power, and love. That's his desire, and that is the foundation of the whole Exodus narrative. In fact, that's the foundation of the whole biblical meta-narrative. The whole biblical story revolves around the desire of God to dwell with his creation. However, even though that's the case, after the golden calf in Exodus 32, God says in Exodus 33, verse 3, "Go to this land that flows with milk and honey, but I will not travel among you, for you are a stubborn and rebellious people. If I did, I would surely destroy you along the way." So God's character, God's desire, his original intention is to dwell with his people. And then after the golden calf, he says, "I want you to go to the promised land, but I can't go with you. I would end up destroying you." How hard that must have been for this God who wants to dwell with his people to tell his people, "I can't dwell with you." Ouch. But that's not the end of the story. Because after he says, this is Exodus 33, then in Exodus 34, God reveals himself as gracious and loving. He reveals his gracious and loving nature. He reveals himself as a merciful, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, faithful, forgiving, yet holy and just. And this revelation of kindness to Israel, this revelation of love to them, leads them to repentance. It leads them to turn from their self-destructive path that they laid out with the golden calf and once again yield themselves to God's desire and plan for them to flourish, which included him dwelling in their midst. That's why Paul says in Romans 2:4, "Can't you see that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance?" It's not anger that brings about repentance. It's kindness and love and mercy that bring about the repentance of Israel. So God's kindness leads Israel to repentance, and then from that point to the end of the Exodus story, the people's strict obedience to the Lord's commands demonstrates their repentance after the golden calf disaster. And it made possible the fulfillment of God's promise and desire to dwell among them. So here in Exodus chapter 40, the Lord's presence leaves the top of Mount Sinai, because that's where he has been. Exodus 29 talks about that. And it settles over this newly constructed tent dwelling, this tabernacle, meaning all the glory, all the power that was displayed at the top of Mount Sinai has moved in to the middle of Israel's camp. The whole Exodus story is this story of this closer and closer approach of God to his people. First, it's Mount Sinai. Then he goes to the edge of the camp where he meets with Moses in the tent of meeting. Moses would go to the edge of the camp to meet with God, to hear his instructions. And that was in the tent of meeting. But then from the edge of the camp, now it moves into the middle of the camp. That's where the tabernacle is. It's in the middle of the people of Israel. And from this point forward, God is not going to communicate with Moses from Mount Sinai. He's going to communicate with him from the tent of meeting, from the tabernacle. So this moment at the end of Exodus 40, it represents the Lord's ultimate purpose and desire in rescuing Israel from slavery in Egypt. So the rebellion with the golden calf in Exodus 32, that threatened the entire tent-dwelling project. But then in Exodus 33 and 34, we see this deeper revelation to Moses of the Lord's deep compassion and forgiveness, and it allowed for the healing of the broken relationship between God and Israel. It made a new covenant possible. And this passage that we just read, it reveals there are two relationships that are deeply affected by our obedience and our willingness to follow God's plan for our flourishing. And so the first relationship we read about is the relationship between God's glory and our obedience. So I'm just going to reread the first two verses again. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could no longer enter the tabernacle because the cloud had settled down over it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Now, obviously, God was very well pleased with the obedience of Israel. Their obedience demonstrated that they really did believe him, and they really did love him. Like, we can say, I believe in Jesus. I love Jesus. We can say that, but Jesus is very, very clear that our belief and our love is demonstrated by our obedience to him. John 14, 15. If you love me, obey my commandments. John 14, 21. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. John 14, 24. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And the reason that Jesus is so adamant about this, about us obeying his commands, showing our love and our belief by obedience to his commands and faithfulness to his commands, is because of what we've heard so far through this entire message. Jesus wants to share himself with us. John 15, 10. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. Now, this doesn't mean, like, I just want to bring some assurance here, this doesn't mean that if we disobey, that he stops loving us. It doesn't mean that if we disobey, he says, I'm moving out. I'm leaving. Because he is faithful all the time, even when we're not. Deuteronomy and Hebrews says that he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And that never means never. It doesn't mean never unless we do this. It just means never. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. I have a quote here from David Guzik who puts it this way. There is a real and significant connection between the continually mentioned obedience of Moses and Israel and this display, this remarkable display of glory. We shouldn't think that Moses or Israel earned this display of glory because of their obedience, yet their obedience welcomed it. This is an enduring principle. We don't earn our rescue. We don't earn our relationship with God. God doesn't love us more when we obey him, but it is undeniable that when we walk in the light and the truth of God, that there is blessing. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. There will be blessing. So God's glory fills the tabernacle to the point where Moses could not enter it. The glory of the Lord is like his stamp of approval on Israel's obedience. The Hebrew for glory means to be heavy or weighty or honored. It's one of the terms in the Old Testament for the visible manifestation of God. Exodus 24:17 calls it a devouring fire. The same thing happened when Solomon completed and dedicated the temple as per the Lord's instructions. The glory of the Lord so filled the temple that they couldn't stay in it. Without the glory of the Lord, the tabernacle is just a fancy tent. Without the glory of the Lord, the church, well, this is just a fancy building. It's the glory of the Lord that changes that tent into the tabernacle, that changes a building into a church where people gather to worship God, even changes ourselves. So there is a relationship between God's glory and our obedience. Obedience to Jesus prepares us to welcome the glory of God in our life, the presence of God in our life in a deep and meaningful and powerful way. So there is a relationship between God's glory, or the experience of God's glory, and our obedience. There's also a relationship between God's guidance and our obedience. These are the last three verses. Now, whenever the cloud lifted from the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out on their journey following it. But if the cloud did not rise, they remained where they were until it lifted. The cloud of the Lord hovered over the tabernacle during the day, and at night, fire glowed inside the cloud so the whole family of Israel could see it. This continued throughout all their journeys. We often hear about in the Gospel of John, how there are seven I am statements by Jesus, where he reveals a part of himself or a part of his purpose. I am, you know, the way, the truth, the life. I am the resurrection, the life. All these I am statements. But did you know that throughout Exodus, God also reveals himself, his divine name, and his character through a series of I am statements? In fact, it's these I am statements that Jesus makes is like kind of echoing when he gives his I am statements. So Exodus 3, I am who I am. Exodus 15, I am the Lord who heals you. Exodus 20, I am a passionate God. I am a loyal and gracious God. Exodus 31, I am the Lord who makes you holy. Also again in Exodus 20, I am the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. But then in Exodus 29, he repeats that I am statement, but goes a little further, a little deeper. Exodus 29:46, I am the Lord who brought them out of Egypt so that I could make a home among them. That is God's desire in bringing Israel out of slavery, so that he can make his home among them. And he would say the same thing about you. I am the Lord working in your life so that I can make my home in you. Back in Exodus 33, after the golden calf debacle where God says, I'm sorry, I can't go with you. Moses prays in verse 15, if you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. Israel needs God's guidance. And these final verses are this beautiful evidence that God did answer Moses' prayer. And they are also the fulfillment of God's promise in chapter 29, verse 45, where he says, I will dwell among the Israelites and be their God. Now, it got sketchy for a moment with the golden calf, but God stayed true to his character. He is the God who makes a way to dwell with his people. It is God's character to make his home among his people. This tent, this tabernacle, is the culmination of that revelation for Israel. But God's character never changes. He is still the God who makes a home among his people. But how he makes his home among us has changed. He made a way to dwell with Israel, and he made a way to dwell with you and me today. And that way is the cross and the death and the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know if you were here a few weeks ago when I was preaching another part of Exodus and the message about hearing God, but I just want to repeat something here that I said there, which is in Exodus, as we just heard, God tabernacles among his people, dwells among his people through the tabernacle. But then John chapter 1 says God became flesh and tabernacled among us through Jesus Christ. And then after the death and resurrection and ascension of Jesus, 1 Corinthians and 1 Peter tells us that God now tabernacles in us through the Holy Spirit, who moves in when we yield our life to God and commit to follow Jesus. When we give our life to Jesus, God's glory moves in. The same glory that was on the top of Mount Sinai, the same presence and glory that descended on the tabernacle moves in to you and to me when we yield our life to Jesus and say, yes, I will follow you. And so, again, as David Guzik mentions, the book of Exodus, it ends with great hope and great trust in God. You know, Israel was in the middle of a desolate desert. They had fierce enemies waiting for them in the Promised Land. And as they discovered, they were weak and liable to sin and rebellion. But God was with them. And this gave them great cause for faith and confidence. And you and I can have that same level of faith and confidence today. Philippians 1:6, I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So we yield our life to Jesus. God's glory, presence moves into us through the person of the Holy Spirit. And then he says, I am going to work on you, and I will not stop it until the day it is complete. God wants to show up in your life. God wants to reveal his love to us. God wants to set you apart and tabernacle in you, dwell in you. Now, our obedience, it doesn't earn us the right for this to happen, but it prepares us for this to happen. Like, what if Moses had not set up the tabernacle as the Lord commanded, or Solomon didn't build the temple like the Lord commanded? They would not have been able to receive God's presence and glory like God wanted to reveal himself. You and I, we are a cracked, earthen, clay vessel. And in and of ourselves, we cannot contain God's glory. But when we walk in obedience to the Lord, something happens. Because obedience begins to transform us. It helps us encounter healing and formation and character growth that then enables us to carry the light of God in a very powerful way. And so by the end of Exodus, the Lord is fully present, visible, and at home with God's people as they continue their journey to the Promised Land. God now dwells in you in the same way. He is fully present to you, and he is at home in you, which is why Paul writes about Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not Christ near you or around you, Christ in you. The hope of glory resides in you. This cracked earthen vessel is carrying the hope of glory. And yes, it is cracked. Yes, the light leaks out and all this sort of stuff. In fact, the light can leak out through the cracks in a very beautiful way sometimes. But as we walk in obedience to the Lord, he leads us to this place of flourishing where all these broken bits begin to experience healing and transformation. It is God's character to dwell in you because he wants to share his goodness, his love, his peace, his grace, his mercy with you. And so the question we all face today is, will you invite him to move in? And perhaps that's something you've done years ago. Oh, I already invited him to move in. Well, maybe today you and I, we can welcome him into all of our life, giving him lordship over every part of our life. Jesus, I will obey you in my relationships. Jesus, I will obey you with my finances. Jesus, I will obey you with my work ethic. Jesus, I will show your kindness and your grace with how I parent my children. After the golden calf, it was important that, like, after such a time of brokenness and sinfulness, that the covenant between God and his people be renewed. And Exodus chapter 40, these verses, it is the culmination of that renewal. Even in our own lives, if you, like me, have walked with Jesus for any amount of time, you know there's waxing and waning to our walk. And sometimes in our own lives, we actually do need to renew our commitment to the Lord. Like, we go through a time of doing our own thing, going our own way, and then often through circumstances, we come to the realization of how much we need the Lord in our life. And at that point, it may be appropriate to once again renew your commitment to the Lord. So Ashley, what I would like to do is I would like to end with just a quick prayer. And I'm going to pray this prayer, and you can pray along with me if it echoes the cry of your heart at this time. But it's just a time of renewal and dedication. I mean, maybe we haven't, like, gone to a far-off country like the prodigal son, but maybe it's just, hey, it's Sunday, why not? I'm just going to renew my commitment to Jesus one more time for the week ahead. So if you'd like to, feel free to pray in your own mind a prayer of agreement with this. I just want to invite you, actually, first of all, if you'd like to close your eyes. And just hear once again, God in all of his love, glory, grace, peace, kindness, he wants to live in you. He wants to dwell in you. He wants to fellowship with you. And you are now his tabernacle. And so you can even just begin by giving God thanks, just saying, thank you, God, that you want to live with me, that you want to live in me. It is an amazing, amazing thing. And if you'd like, you can pray something like this. Dear Jesus, thank you that you want to share your life with me. Thank you that when I was far from God, you gave your life so that I could live. And I invite you to move into my life. And I fully yield myself to your love and mercy and guidance and goodness this week and for the rest of my life. You are the Lord, and I will follow you as long as you give me the strength and the courage to do so. Amen.
Hi, I'm Pastor Danny, the lead pastor at Lighthouse Church. I hope that this message has been an encouragement to you and helped you in your journey with God. At Lighthouse Church, we believe that Jesus came so that we could have life and that life to the fullest. Our resources, teaching, and ministries are designed to help us flourish in life. And if there's any way we can help you, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. You'll find all the information you need at LadnerLife.com. That's www.LadnerLife.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified each time another message or resource comes available. Till next time, be blessed, live well.